29. Pete sees only one chance to go on living. As long as the man with the red lips and pasty complexion doesn't know where the Rothstein notebooks are, he won't pull the trigger of the gun, which is looking less jolly all the time. "You're Mr. Halliday's partner, aren't you?" he says, not exactly looking at the corpse, it's too awful, but lifting his chin in that direction. "In cahoots with him." Red Lips utters a brief chuckle, then does something that shocks Peter, who believed until that moment he was beyond shock. He spits on the body. "He was never my partner. Although he had his chance once upon a time. Long before you were even a twinkle in your father's eye, Peter. And while I find your attempt at a diversion admirable, I must insist that we keep to the subject at hand. Where are the notebooks? In your house? Which used to be my house, by the way. Isn't that an interesting co-inky-dink?" Here's another shock. "You're? More ancient history. Never mind. Is that where they are?" "No, they were for a while, but I moved them." "And should I believe that?" "I think not." "Because of him," Pete again lifts his chin toward the body. "I tried to sell him some of the notebooks, and he threatened to tell the police. I had to move them." Red Lips considers this, then gives a nod. "All right, I can see that. It fits with what he told me. So where did you put them?" "Out with it, Peter. Fess up. We'll both feel better, especially you. If 'twere to be done, 'twere well it were done quickly. Macbeth, Act One." Pete does not fess up. To fess up is to die. This is the man who stole the notebooks in the first place. He knows that now. Stole the notebooks and murdered John Rothstein over 30 years ago. And now he's murdered Mr. Halliday. Will he scruple at adding Pete Saubers to his list? Red Lips has no trouble reading his mind.
"I don't have to kill you, you know. Not right away, at least. I can put a bullet in your leg. If that doesn't loosen your lips, I'll put one in your balls. With those gone, a young fellow like you wouldn't have much to live for anyway, would he?"
Pushed into a final corner, Pete has nothing left but the burning, helpless outrage only adolescents can feel.
"You killed him! You killed John Rothstein!"
Tears are welling in his eyes. They run down his cheeks in warm trickles.
"The best writer of the 20th century, and you broke into his house and killed him. For money. Just for money."
"Not for money," Red Lips shouts back. "He sold out."
He takes a step forward, the muzzle of the gun dipping slightly.
"He sent Jimmy Gold to hell and called it advertising. And by the way, who are you to be high and mighty? You tried to sell the notebooks yourself. I don't want to sell them. Maybe once when I was young and stupid, but not anymore. I want to read them. They're mine. I want to run my hand over the ink and feel the words he set down in his own hand. Thinking about that was all that kept me sane for 36 years.
He takes another step forward.
"Yes, and what about the money in the trunk? Did you take that too?" "Of course you did. You're the thief, not me. You!"
In that moment, Pete is too furious to think about escape, because this last accusation, unfair though it may be, is all too true. He simply grabs one of the liquor decanters and fires it at his tormentor as hard as he can. Red Lips isn't expecting it. He flinches, turning slightly to the right as he does so, and the bottle strikes him in the shoulder. The glass stopper comes out when it hits the carpet. The sharp and stinging odor of whiskey joins the smell of old blood. The flies buzz in an agitated cloud, their meal interrupted. Pete grabs another decanter and lunges at Red Lips with it raised like a cudgel, the gun forgotten. He trips over Halliday's sprawled legs, goes to one knee, and when Red Lips shoots, the sound in the closed room is like a flat hand clap. The bullet goes over his head almost close enough to part his hair. Pete hears it, zzz,
He throws the second decanter, and this one strikes Red Lips just below the mouth, drawing blood. He cries out, staggers backward, hits the wall. The last two decanters are behind him now, and there is no time to turn and grab another. Pete pushes to his feet and snatches the hatchet from the desk, not by the rubberized handle, but by the head. He feels the sting as the blade cuts into his palm, but it's distant, pain felt by somebody living in another country. Red Lips has held on to the gun and is bringing it around for another shot. Pete can't exactly think, but a deeper part of his mind, perhaps never called upon until today, understands that if he were closer, he could grapple with Red Lips and get the gun away from him. Easily. He's younger, stronger. But the desk is between them, so he throws the hatchet instead. It whirls at Red Lips, end over end, like a tomahawk. Red Lips screams and cringes away from it, raising the hand holding the gun to protect his face. The blunt side of the hatchet's head strikes his forearm. The gun flies up, strikes one of the bookcases, and clatters to the floor. There's another hand clap as it discharges. Pete doesn't know where the second bullet goes, but it's not into him, and that's all he cares about. Red Lips crawls for the gun with his fine white hair hanging in his eyes and blood dripping from his chin. He's eerily fast, somehow lizard-like. Pete calculates, still without thinking, and sees that if he races Red Lips to the gun, he'll lose. It will be close, but he will. There's a chance he might be able to grab the man's arm before he can turn the gun to fire, but not a good one. He bolts for the door instead.
Come back, you shit! Red Lips shouts. We're not done!
Coherent thought makes a brief reappearance. Oh, yes, we are, Pete thinks. He rakes the door open and goes through hunched over. He slams it shut behind him with a hard fling of his left hand and sprints for the front of the shop, toward Lacemaker Lane and the blessed lives of other people. There's another gunshot, muffled, and Pete hunches further, but there's no impact and no pain. He pulls at the front door. It doesn't open. He casts a wild glance back over his shoulder and sees Red Lips shamble out of Halliday's office, his chin wreathed in a blood goatee. He's got the gun and he's trying to aim it. Pete paws at the thumb lock with fingers that have no feeling, manages to grasp it, and twists.
A moment later, he's on the sunny sidewalk. No one looks at him. No one is even in the immediate vicinity. On this hot weekday afternoon, the Lacemaker Lane walking mall is as close to deserted as it ever gets. Pete runs blindly, with no idea of where he's going.